Putting on a touring Broadway musical in the lower 48 is an expensive, complicated, and difficult process. Bringing one to Alaska, though, you start to cross the line from difficult to logistical nightmare. However, this year, not one, but four Broadway shows, counting hundreds among their cast and crew, came to Alaska to perform. How is it that shows like Hamilton and Six brought not just their people, but their massive, complicated sets to the 49th state? We'll answer that question and more about Broadway Alaska's very first season on this Talk of Alaska.
The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters.
This is Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend. If you've ever listened to the musical Hamilton, you're probably familiar with its show-stopping track, Wait For It. Coincidentally, waiting for it is also what Alaskans have to do anytime a popular new Broadway musical goes on tour. Now, I'm not the first person to make that joke, but last year, 8 years after it was first performed, Hamilton made its way up to Alaska. It was the first show in what ended up being a high-profile lineup for Broadway Alaska's premier 2023-2024 season, which just wrapped up this last weekend with the final performance of the musical adaptation of Disney's Aladdin. So how do shows like these with huge casts and intricate sets make their way to Alaska? Here to help me answer that question is Cody Costello. Cody is the president and COO of the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts, also known as the PAC, as well as the general manager of Broadway Alaska. Cody, thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about what I do, and I love what I do, so I'm so excited to be here.
All right, and I'm excited to ask you about it. And you can also be a part of today's conversation. Did you see Aladdin, Come From Away, or any of the other shows from the season? Do you have questions about how to bring your favorite Broadway musical to Anchorage? You can call us with questions or comments statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. If you're in Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422, 907-550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. Okay, so before we start talking about this season, let's start with some of the basics. So Broadway shows have been coming to Alaska for a while, and the PAC, but that's not new. But Broadway Alaska is new. Tell me about that.
Yes. So Broadway Alaska is a new partnership with the Nederlander organization, a company in New York that has been around since 1912. They're a family-owned business that own multiple Broadway theaters, and they produce Broadway shows. They also have theaters in Chicago and the UK, and manage multiple touring markets across our country. And they're just a fantastic partner to have. They understand what it takes to build a series and in a community, and they're focused on what our community needs. And that's what makes them the perfect partner for us.
All right. And you were at the PAC before Broadway Alaska got started. So what kind of it spurred on this new partnership?
Sure. I took my role as president and chief operating officer of the PAC February 1st of 2020. And we all know what happened 5 weeks after that. So during that time of COVID and being shut down and really taking time to take stock and envision who we wanted to be and what we wanted to make sure we could do for our community after we were able to come back, and was part of the investigation during that time. And the Murdoch Charitable Trust actually invited us to apply for a planning grant. And through that support, we developed the concept for Broadway Alaska, which, yes, Broadway shows have been coming to Alaska for a long time. The challenges, the logistics, you mentioned the logistical nightmare, and I learned to put a spin on it and look at it as more of logistical ballet, right? So how are we going to cast that show and get all the right partners in place to help ensure that we can fit more within the national touring model that helps position Alaska for gaining those titles that we all are passionate about and want to see an experience here. And so we made the commitment to make that investment to bring those shows here so that, you know, it always breaks our heart when we keep seeing people go out. Obviously, we all are going to travel. Alaskans love to travel and go around the country to do different things and see different things. But, you know, we are very committed to what it means for Alaska if we can bring it here and we can have these experiences right here at home.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about what it really takes to bring a show up here. So what is the process like for, you know, you work with Nederlander through this new partnership, but what is it really like convincing a show to bring their cast and crew and set up to Alaska?
Well, and that's the critical part of the partnership is that Nederlander manages that piece of it, you know, and they help us, you know, through conversations together and curate that season. And that obviously has to do, too, with just like where are they at any given time around the country and how does it start to make sense for them to come up here? And part of that commitment on our part as Alaska Center for the Performing Arts is a commitment to developing a transportation model that speeds it up, which it's not by trucking. It's by air, you know, or and when we can, we work very closely with an amazing partner with Tote Maritime Alaska to ship via their, you know, shipping when the timing can work out. And they were critical in making Hamilton happen along with, you know, our other partners that it takes a lot of partners. I guess that's an important point to make. And so with GCI and Alaska Airlines sponsorship, that helped us kick it off and show that we had the community support to bring Hamilton up here. And then, of course, ConocoPhillips as well sponsored the engagement. So, you know, getting Hamilton up here was 2 years plus in the making. And then every single show as well. It takes about 2 years to do all the planning and logistics organization to get each of these shows up here. And so, you know, Hamilton was interesting in that they were going from three tours down to one. And so we took elements from three different tours to get it up here in a time frame that worked for us. So we took three trucks from the Albuquerque tour. Once it ended, we took 7 trailers from after they came back from Puerto Rico, from Florida, and those got trucked across the country. And then we took 3 trailers from the Omaha presentation, and those are the ones that flew. So Hamilton had every kind of transportation that you can imagine. And so, yes, it was a logistical ballet across the country of trucking and shipping and airplanes.
Yeah, it's so funny. You know, I happened to be in the Port of Anchorage last year around the time that Hamilton was in town. Working on a different story. And yeah, the port director actually pointed to a line of Connexes as we were getting to tour.
Oh,
and he was like, the set for Hamilton came in through there.
Oh, one of my favorite pictures with my team is we went out to Point Wernzoff and watched the tote ship come in, and we knew that the trailers for Hamilton were on there, and we welcomed it into we waved and welcomed it to Alaska.
That's a great.
Yeah.
So you mentioned there that it's about a 2-year process bringing a show up to Alaska. So is it safe to say then that the 2023-2024 season was about 2 years in the works leading up to that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we have to, so the shows are used to having what's called a truck pack. They pack those trucks the same way every single time, and they move it from they close on a Sunday and they move it to the next location for a Tuesday opening. And so when they come up here, those truck packs kind of go away because we are building what are called cookie sheets for the airplanes. And that's about the you know, curvature of the plane, and we can only build those pallets in certain ways. And so the shows are doing something they're not used to in addition to. So they're making a huge commitment as well to come up here because they have to kind of retool their whole process. And we have to weigh and measure every single piece that goes on their airplane because you have to have everything balanced correctly, and the load master has to approve your plan. I mean, it's a very complicated process. So it really takes that buy-in and that belief from every single participant in that process, from the day, you know, from the shows themselves to the logistics and warehouse teams to the teams that fly the planes to the logistics team on this side with, you know, Legacy and Salt Chuck and those team members and Anik that help us put it all together. I mean, it's a huge amount of people that make it possible.
All right. So hundreds, if not thousands of people working to bring these shows up.
I mean, if you think of all the ancillary hands, you know, those that touch a show like this, especially to get it to Alaska, it's a lot of people. And it's actually, just talking about it now, miraculous.
All right. Well, let's talk about the season a little bit. So there were four shows, mm-hmm. Hamilton, Come From Away, Six, and then most recently, Aladdin. How did the season go overall?
Oh, my gosh. Just we've all been kind of looking at each other over the last couple of days. You know, we loaded Aladdin out on Sunday, and actually the team is at the theater right now restoring the Atwood Concert Hall with the IATSE Local 918, our stagehand union, and who also were critical to this entire year and everything that happens at the PAC. You know, we do a lot beyond Broadway as well with all of our resident companies. And all users of the building. But I think this year, you know, as we look back and the experiences that we've had with each of the shows, they've all been incredible artisans and professionals, and the opportunity for us to bring that to our community, incredible. I mean, I was telling you before we started, like, one of my favorite things is to walk out after the show or at intermission, and you see these cross sectors of our community that have had a shared experience. I mean, that's what the beauty of live performing arts does, you know, but these shows in particular have brought so many new people into the Performing Arts Center. And I think it also is helping spread that message that this Performing Arts Center belongs to all of us, and that everyone is welcome and encouraged to come and enjoy those experiences that we provide here at the center. But to see engagement happening, you know, with different members of our community that they might not engage with each other if they saw each other at the grocery store, right? But now we've just shared this experience together, and we're having this amazing conversation about it, you know, generational, you know, cultural, like, just what are those cross sectors of our community that come together, and then now they have this common thing that they've just experienced, and the conversations that you hear in that lobby are just, they're life-changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can imagine. So it sounds like it's safe to say the reception was well.
Yes, very well. Absolutely. And, you know, shows like Come From Away and Six, which are titles that people aren't as familiar with, you know, exposing our community to those stories and then having them take a chance on it and experiencing it and being so excited about what they just saw, you know, that hopefully as we bring more content through the program that maybe people aren't as familiar with, they'll be more open to, like, saying, you know what? I had a great experience last time. I'm going to come give this a try and hear a new story that maybe I don't know, but I'm going to come and try it out and hopefully be transformed through that experience.
Yeah, I personally had an experience like that. A friend of mine asked if I wanted to go see Six, and I had never seen it. I wasn't familiar with any of the tracks, any of the songs. And I made the decision not to look any of that up before going in.
Oh, fantastic.
I read the playbill a little bit before it started. But yeah, it was just, you know, it was so wonderful to just kind of experience these songs for the first time and just an entire fresh experience.
And I love that.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess that's kind of, that experience is, I'm guessing, what you're hoping folks have to kind of encourage, you know, more exploration of titles. And
absolutely.
Things.
You know, and I think sometimes, you know, we can be encouraged to be like, well, I'm going to listen to the music before I go so that I make sure I get more out, you know, that, you know, because sometimes, you know, obviously, like Hamilton, there's so much language in that show, you know, and it can be fast paced. And, you know, so but I love, too, that people will take that opportunity to be like, you know what, I'm going to just have it wash over me and I'm going to go have an experience. I don't know any of the songs or whatever. I love that you did that. I love hearing when people have that experience, too.
All right. So, you know, moving back to sort of some of the logistics, how does it work really in terms, you know, it's an expensive endeavor bringing a show up to Alaska. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you sell enough tickets to kind of recoup the costs in some form. Mm-hmm. So you don't necessarily want a show coming up for just a weekend, but you also want to be able to fill seats, which might not happen if a show stays in town for too long. Mm-hmm. How do you balance those things?
It is a tricky balance. And I think you know, another aspect that's really important is subscribers. So we think of our subscribers as our investors, you know, and our commitment to those people that are opting in, you know, for a commitment for a full season is really, really important, because it also shows our partners in the shows that Alaskans are committed to the program and ready to say yes, right? But yeah, it is challenging. You know, it is a lot of tickets, is a lot of inventory, and part of what our other commitment to that is making sure that we are doing a lot of community outreach and we're engaging with the community in ways beyond the show experience, so that we're creating that connectivity and that opportunity for people to experience all that a show coming to Alaska can offer. And so, you know, right now we do have a 2-week program, and that's unusual. You know, most markets across the country are a 1-week program, and they grow into a 2-week program. And so we're really taking on that early commitment to saying, you know, these shows at a minimum are going to be here on a regular basis for 2 weeks. You know, word of mouth also helps, so that people, you know, Alaskans can be our ambassadors that have seen the show already and can go tell their friends, you know, what kind of an experience they've had to help make that, fill that up through the course of the 2 weeks that they're here.
All right. I want to follow up on a couple of those things. But if you are just tuning in, my guest today is Cody Costello. This is Talk of Alaska. And today we are talking about the most recent season of Broadway Alaska, or their very first season, series of shows Hamilton, Come From Away, Six, and most recently the musical adaptation of Disney's Aladdin. If you're interested in calling to ask a question or make a comment, talk about what you enjoyed about this past season, ask about future shows, you can call us statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422, 907-550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org. So you mentioned subscribers. I know there is also sort of the season pass that folks can sign up for. Was there sort of a noticeable uptick this year with such, like, you know, not just, you know, high profile shows, but 4 shows in total?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this being our first season, you know, we were starting our subscription family from all anew. And so it was an incredible response. We kind of were close to about 5,200 subscribers in our first year. Then those are people that committed to all 4 shows in the season, which is incredible. And we're excited to see that grow. We're about to announce next season on the 27th. And those subscribers will have an opportunity to renew for our 3-show season next year first, and then we'll open it up for new subscribers after that, shortly after that. So, yeah, I mean, that response was incredible, and I'm so grateful to those that came in our inaugural year. You know, they really got in on the ground floor, and I'm excited to do well by them for years to come.
All right. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about the future season at the end here. I know, mm-hmm. obviously, the official announcement is coming on Saturday, but I may ask you for a couple hints. before that, though, so, you know, thinking about booking shows and bringing them to Alaska, you mentioned the 2-year timeline. Mm-hmm. Did you book the shows in sort of chronological order? Like, did you start with Hamilton, or was it more scattered? And then either way, you know, once you get one show confirmed, how does that sort of affect the rest of the season?
Sure. Well, you know, there's an art to programming to create a balance in a season, so that, you know, you have kind of a little bit of something for everyone as you think about your broader audience. You know, it was really important to us. I mean, I really have to credit Nederlander. I mean, they really worked with us to look at, you know, what it was really important that we have 4 shows that Alaska had never had. So that was really important. Hamilton was the first that they secured. I remember our friend Jack telling me, okay, are you sitting down? I have some news to share. And so I was like, okay, what is it? And he told me, well, we got Hamilton. And I was like, What? So that was incredible. But then, you know, you start to curate and you look at the rest of the season and, you know, knowing that you're going to want to bring some experiences that maybe also push the audience a little bit. And then what the pleasers of like, oh, the familiarity and then, you know, something that's fresh and new. So that's kind of how, you know, we just kind of went through and it's fairly organic, to be honest, you know, where you're looking at what's available and how the scheduling will work and all of that. So it's actually really wonderful process and very open like that. It was also very important to me to make sure that we had diverse stories and diverse casts and all of that to really reflect our community. And I think that, you know, I think we did all right.
All right. Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about community engagement there.
Yeah.
So, you know, all of these shows had sort of community engagement pieces. It sounds like there were some common threads between them and then also some unique things that happened for each show.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because that was also sort of a new thing with Broadway Alaska.
Yeah. So we, you know, obviously access to see the shows is always a big part of what's important to us and what our commitment is. So we've started an outreach program within our Broadway Alaska program called Broadway Bound AK. And within that framework, we have everything from an ability for individuals and corporations to contribute to a ticket subsidy fund to help bring down the cost of even our student group rate tickets for each show. So I'm really proud of that. And that's been active all season and is growing. And then with each of the shows, we designed a different element that we wanted to explore. So with Hamilton, we did the Hamilton Creative Contest, which was a statewide contest that was modeled after something that Hamilton did in New York. And it was a creative competition that allowed students from across the state to contribute pieces of art or performance or writing that were inspired by Hamilton. And I was just floored. The talent of our youth in this state, in our community, is just incredible. And I think of one young lady in particular. I hope she won't mind me mentioning her name, but Daya wrote an original piece. And we were just all blown away when we watched the submission. I mean, we literally gathered around my desk and watched it, and like, we're like tears streaming down our face. Like, this, what she developed, the story, and just so committed to it. And so she got to actually come with her family and be on the news. But then we also got to take them onto the Atwood stage where nobody was that day. And she got to stand center stage and sing out her song just for herself. And it was just so special, you know. Mm-hmm. Why shouldn't she get to stand on that stage and have that experience? Because I remember her thinking that she would never get an opportunity to do something like that. And it was like, no, you absolutely have the talent. You have an amazing supportive family and all of, and now you have all of us. They're like, go, go. How can we help you? Mm-hmm. And then with Come From Away, we worked with the University of Alaska Anchorage and did a really fantastic community conversation about resiliency in the time of crisis. And I'm really proud that we were able to bring Come From Away here. I lived in New York City during 9/11, and I actually went to school with the writers of the show, Irene and David. And so I've always been very proud of what they developed with such a terrible experience in our collective history, and that they were able to write a story that was so, I mean, I think the other thing was, it's such an Alaskan story too. I mean, that's how Alaskans show up, and that's how we roll, taking care of each other. And then with Six, we worked with Trend Alaska to bring attention to Victims for Justice. And we had a live performance with one of the artists from the show as part of that fundraiser event. And then GCI has been doing a webinar for every show, starting with Come From Away, where we do a statewide webinar into classrooms across the state and have some kind of backstage conversation. And those have been growing in terms of their success and participation. And then with Aladdin, you know, our focus was really how many kids can we get into this theater to see these shows? And we had, you know, the entire Mountain View Elementary. I mean, I have to give a shout out to Claire, the principal at Mountain View Elementary, and what she makes happen for those for that student community. And so that whole school came, and we had Tyson Elementary there. And so just the amount of that was our focus with Aladdin, was how many kids came. So we did a lot of fundraising, and an individual philanthropists and corporate contributions really made that happen for Aladdin. That's kind of a recap of some of the things that we've done, and that has really filled our buckets all season.
All right. Yeah. And there were also, I remember hearing about sort of talkback sessions where the cast could actually just like meet audience members.
Yeah. So for each show, we've done a post-show Q&A on a couple of the matinee performances, and they've been amazing. We've had everything from the performers themselves to the backstage technicians and artisans come and share a bit about, you know, what they do and how they got into this work, and words of encouragement for especially youth in our community that might be considering a career in the performing arts. And it's been, they just see these transformational moments everywhere you look. It's been wonderful.
Yeah. So, you know, these shows are all obviously based in Anchorage at the Center for the Performing Arts. You mentioned sort of engaging with folks outside of Anchorage as part of those community engagement pieces. Mm-hmm. How much do these shows kind of benefit communities outside of Anchorage?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I can say is that when the companies come here, we have the Alaska factor working in our favor. I mean, some of these, you know, they come with large groups. They have, you know, what are called swings. So those are other artists that kind of, I think many people would think of them as understudies, but they learn multiple parts so they can step in when needed. And so people can take a day off and whatever. And when people take a day off, when they're up here in Alaska, they are out about. We've had people go, you know, Fairbanks, and they're taking trips and they're doing these excursions, and they have a whole Monday off when they're here, and they're out. They're not just, I mean, they're just not sticking around the hotel. But in terms of also what we've seen with engagement from around the state, beyond the incredible opportunity with the statewide webinars that GCI is hosting, then we also have, you know, I think on average we're seeing, you know, 60 to 75 cities around Alaska coming to each Broadway presentation.
Wow.
So it really is a statewide program. And, you know, we're looking at different ways like that we can increase partnerships with to help, you know, more people come, you know, whether it's, you know, transportation specials or whatever. So, you know, in our first year, we're gathering lots of data and feedback. So I look forward to implementing them and that, and making it easier for more Alaskans to experience Broadway Alaska.
All right. Well, I want to talk about that Alaska factor, but first we have to take our first break. So if you are just tuning in, this is Talk of Alaska. Today we are talking about the very first season for Broadway Alaska, a new partnership that is working to bring touring Broadway musicals up to Anchorage. If you have a question or comment you'd like to ask about future shows, or comment about something that you saw this past season, feel free to give us a call statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. You can also reach us from Anchorage at 907-550-8422, 907-550-8422. You can also reach us at talk@alaskapublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend, and our show today is for all of the theater fans in Alaska. We are talking about the most recent season, and the very first season, of Broadway Alaska, a new partnership that is bringing touring Broadway musicals up to the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts. My guest today is Cody Costello, who is the general manager of Broadway Alaska, as well as the president and COO of the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts. Before our break, we were talking about a number of things, but one of those being the Alaska factor, you know, the sort of wow factor that actors from the lower 48 are just amazed to be able to come up to the state. And there's just this, you know, excitement of being in Alaska for the first time. All of that is to say, when Hamilton was in town, one of our hosts, Wesley Early, spoke with the actor who played Hamilton, Pierre-Jean Gonzalez, about what it was like to perform the show in Alaska. And we have a clip from that now.
First of all, the views here are insane. I mean, I did a tour the other day. We did the helicopter going up to the dog sledding and then like the glaciers. And I'm still riding a high off of that. I think Alaska, I wasn't ready. I didn't know. Nobody told me. For me, as a boy who grew up in the projects in the Bronx, I never could have imagined that I would be here, not just even playing Hamilton, but being in Alaska. Like that's unknown for a lot of people I grew up with. They just stick in that same area. So for me, this has really opened up my mind and my eyes to a lot.
How have the Alaska audiences reacted so far to seeing the musical in person?
They've been amazing. The audiences here are lit. They're loving the show. We're feeling so much love from the people here. And I love the people who come again. I always catch a couple people who've come like a couple times. And we got to meet a couple people who came to the backstage area and let us know that they drove 5 hours or 8 hours or flew or took two planes to get here. And this is the second time they saw it. So I can feel the love and I can feel the importance of what this show means to be here in Alaska.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me because, I remember Anchorage Daily News coverage when Hamilton was in town. People were describing it as like a bucket list item, like they had to see Hamilton live before they came here. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, for the actors who are coming to the state, visiting Alaska is like a bucket list item.
Absolutely.
For them. So, you know, win-win.
Win-win all the way. Yeah, it's been, I mean, I just think it's transformational on both sides, you know, and to know that we're connecting those folks that are coming up here with the companies to these experiences as well is just, it's heartwarming to know that we can have that impact on them as well. You know,
yeah.
It's a two-way conversation, if you will.
Exactly. And you know, it sounds like Niederlander, sort of the organization that Broadway Alaska is in partnership with. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of sort of the negotiating, but I don't know, is that Alaska factor anything you try to like leverage when you're trying to convince folks to come up here?
100%. Absolutely. And, you know, we have so many great partners that are helping us do that, you know, Hotel Captain Cook, Premier Alaska Tours, you know, and then Alaska Airlines has been such an incredible partner. I mean, I wanted to mention too, like their commitment to the outreach element as well as GCI, but they helped bring in students that participated in that Hamilton Creative Competition to come in from all over the state to be able to see the show. And then we had a special experience for them with cast. So they got to talk about, and the cast watched all of their pieces and read all of their pieces.
Oh my gosh, I would be so nervous.
And then gave feedback. And just, I mean, what an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so just to know that we're connecting those elements as well. But yeah, the Alaska factor all the way.
All right. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of excitement around Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And these other shows. Do you think the excitement about those shows kind of spills into other arts, performing arts, or just, you know, otherwise local art in Alaska?
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, all boats rise, you know, and more art breeds more art and more participation. You know, I think that the other thing that it's doing for the Performing Arts Center itself, just the facility itself, is bringing attention to the building and coming and having experiences there. And also, you know, the needs that we have in that facility. You know, it's 35 years old and there's a lot of things that it needs. And so, you know, we're hoping that our investment in bringing this program to Alaskans also breeds more investment in the arts and the facility itself, but also the arts in general and what, how important it is to have this type of cultural experience in our community accessible to as many people as possible. And that's always going to be what we strive for is increasing accessibility to ensure that all can have an opportunity to have these experiences. But absolutely. I mean, the more that people experience, the more curious they get about other things, you know, and that's part of our job too, as the Performing Arts Center. It's like, okay, we've got you now. We've introduced you. Come on in. And now here's more, you know, not just Broadway, but there's symphony, there's opera, there's concerts, there's youth theater, there's the youth orchestra, there's all the dance organizations that we work with, you know, Alaska Dance Theater and Anchorage Classical Ballet Academy, you know, Pulse Dance. I mean, there's Momentum. There's so many dance things happening in our community as well. So it's our job to introduce, to inform, and to expose to more.
All right. Let's see. there's so many different directions I want to take that. But I guess, you know, on the subject of accessibility, this is sort of a quick aside, but I know I in preparation for this, we had heard a little bit about sort of issues with ticket sales, specifically as it relates to kind of third-party sellers.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, I understand that was a kind of a big problem around Hamilton. Can you talk to me a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, I mean, and this is a problem across the country. You know, we're not special in that way. but yeah, so unfortunately, it's not illegal for third-party ticket sellers to sell tickets and then they ramp up the prices and then they keep that differential. And the unfortunate part is sometimes they're not official tickets. And then if there's an issue with the ticket, then that's really hard on the patron. So what we like to say is always come to centertix.com. That's centertix.com. That is the official ticketing platform and gateway to everything at the Performing Arts Center. All Broadway Alaska tickets, and we even ticket for a number of other organizations in our community. So, you know, and we're here. We're Alaskans. It's not, you know, a company outside. It's us. We're here. They have an incredibly helpful team at CenterTix that is always there to ensure that you have the best experience possible, solve problems when they arise, and connect you to the best seats, in no matter what the venue.
Yeah, and it is CenterTix.com. I understand there's, you know, some other websites running around that are a different combination of those words.
Yeah, so it's CenterTix.com.
Okay, yes. Perfect.
Bookmark it.
and I understand, you know, even if there are like special deals or discounts or rates on tickets, that all happens through that
website. CenterTix, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. So I jumping over back to the previous season, I want to talk about Come From Away for a second.
Sure.
So this musical means a lot to you. Mm-hmm. Can you talk to me a little bit about just what this musical is about for folks who might not know?
Yeah. So this musical is about a small town, Gander, in Newfoundland. And during 9/11, lots of planes were diverted, you know, out of U.S. airspace. And so they got diverted to this small town that basically, I don't even know if it quadrupled in size. It was, I mean, they used to have a very big active airport, but it wasn't, you know, in the same usage anymore now that, you know, bigger airplanes don't need to refuel. They used to be a refueling area. So this community took in, I believe it was like 39 planes, and the community basically opened all their doors, like individual homes, you know, the schools, the churches. I mean, they had to house all these people. I think it was like about 7,000 people that they had to find a way to feed them and host them. And you know, talk about transformational. You know, they did what I think Alaskans would do, was they found a way to make sure everybody was taken care of. And lifetime friendships were formed. Even a marriage came out of it. The Dave and Irene, I mentioned I went to grad school with, and they're Canadian. And 10 years after 9/11, they went into this community and started developing this story. And I mean, it's definitely changed their lives. I mean, I've watched also their little girl grow up around the various casts of Come From Away that have emerged, you know, and it's now been in Australia and Korea. I mean, it's all over the world. I think also Japan, and the UK. And it really is just, it's a story about, you know, taking care of each other. And I think, you know, that's also what we do in theater. You know, we take care of each other, we figure out problems, and we are better for it. And I loved too that after 9/11, you know, you saw the stories start to come in the movies and whatever, and the sensationalizing of the act itself. And I love that this story is about the people that, you know, we're there to like I said, take care of each other and focus on those individual stories of people that are everyday people. I think that's also interesting about the show. It's like one of the only shows that Broadway musicals that I've ever been to where it's like, oh, those people look like me. Like they dress like me, and they're not like wearing glitter and like and sparkles, but you know, that's you know, so it's a different, just a different experience. And it was an incredible, it's an incredible story.
And sort of with the engagement piece for that show, you found a way to kind of tie a lot of those themes about like taking care of each other and welcoming people into communities with actual stories that are happening in Alaska.
Can you
talk about that?
Yeah. So we, not only did we do the conversation at the University of Alaska Anchorage, which was, we got to have Irene call in and we talked with a couple of other faculty members about, you know, resiliency in the time of crisis. But we also wanted to amplify and share stories of refugees in our community. It's kind of, so the term "come from away," that's the term that they would that the Gander community comes up with for people that are from outside. Although those are the come from aways, you know. And we have come from aways in our community. And I thought it, the team thought it was important to say, like, you know, we have an opportunity here to share stories about refugees in our community that were, that are our new neighbors, and how can we take care of them and how can we help them thrive. And Catholic Social Services partnered with us to bring those stories to life and share those stories as part of a display of communication that we were doing in the lobby areas during the run of Come From Away.
All right. Yeah. And you were previously on State of Art, another one of our programs at Alaska Public, with Alaska Catholic Social Services State Refugee Coordinator Issa Spatrasino. We have a clip of her kind of describing the connection she saw between the show and those stories. So let's go ahead and listen to it.
You know, one of the things about resettlement, and I think Come From Away kind of tells a story, and I think resettlement reflects this story, is that it is not weather that makes us decide where we live or where we settle down our roots. The largest Somali population in the U.S. lives in Minnesota. It's freezing there, right? We choose where to live based off how we feel welcomed, what kind of schools, what kind of opportunities there are. You know, can I have economic opportunities here? And Alaska offers all those things. And so, yeah, there's an adjustment period of getting used to the snow or, you know, in my culture orientation in Alaska, you have to learn what to do when you see a moose. That's not in culture orientation in Florida, right?
Totally.
But at the end of the day, the reason we choose to live in a community is because of how we feel in that community. And I think Anchorage and Alaska, in the many years I've done resettlement work, have always exemplified that.
So do you see your work with the Center for the Performing Arts in Broadway, Alaska, as sort of contributing to that welcoming sense of community that Spatrasino described?
Oh, absolutely. And I think it helps us, you know, stories are important and it helps create that pathway into connection. And I think that's the same when we're meeting new people or we're in a new place. It's like, well, how can we find that common element with each other? Oftentimes it's through sharing stories. And so I think that's a big part of what Broadway Alaska can do. And it's an important part of our commitment to this program is finding those pathways and connections with each show. Because even if it's what might look on the surface like a comedy, glitzy kind of fluffy piece, there's always more to the story. And that's true with all of us. Like, if it can create that connection to always have us look a little deeper, even with each other, then that to me is theater at its best.
All right. Well, we have to take our second break now. If you are just tuning in, this is Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose in for Lori Townsend. And today we are talking about the first season, the most recent season of Broadway Alaska, which is a partnership bringing touring Broadway programs to Alaska. If you're interested in asking a question or making a comment, telling your thoughts about how this past season went or questions about future shows, feel free to give us a call statewide at 1-800-478-8255. That's 1-800-478-8255. In Anchorage, the number is 907-550-8422, 907-550-8422. You can also email us talk@alaskapublic.org, and we will be right back after a short break. Welcome back to Talk of Alaska. I'm Madeline Rose in for Lori Townsend, and today we are talking about Broadway Alaska and their most recent season, a set of four Broadway shows, including Hamilton and Disney's Aladdin, that came to Anchorage over this past year. And in these last 15 minutes of the show, I want to talk a little bit about kind of looking ahead. So we actually have an email question that I think will kind of kick this off well. I have a bad feeling about the answer to this question, but this is from Jim in Nome. He asks, is there any chance of getting Wicked to come to the PAC before the movie comes out on November 27th? Thanks for the great Broadway season this past year.
Oh, thanks for that question, Jim, and you're welcome. I can verify that Wicked will not be coming before November movie comes out. It is something that we are working on, but we're all excited about the potential as well. And I'm glad that you enjoyed our first Broadway season, and we look forward to bringing you many, many more.
Yeah. So, looking ahead, obviously this was the first season of the new Broadway Alaska partnership. But as we said earlier, Broadway shows coming to the Performing Arts Center are not necessarily new. How big of a shift is this program for the Center for the Performing Arts?
It's a huge shift in terms of us being in partnership with Nederlander and being the presenter of the program. And an important one. I think that, we're unique in terms of our facility being, the only facility that can handle Broadway size shows in the state. And so there's a lot of physical space considerations as well that we need to manage and plan for. And that's also something that it's kind of like the idea of the more you bring, the more the patrons will be excited about more performing arts in general and start to be curious about more things. And also the more we bring into the building, the more our goal is to bring the intention of investment in the building as well, so that we can continue to have a building that is here for all Alaskans to enjoy for the next 35 years. We just celebrated our 35th anniversary season with our first season of Broadway Alaska, and we definitely want to be around for 35 more plus. So I think that that's another element of the shift, is that the attention that is coming with this new program, that we hope that can also bring attention to investment and upgrades and enhancements and modernizations to the facility itself.
And there's also, just the physical location of the building. It's mm-hmm. right in downtown Anchorage. Yeah. In recent years, there's been a lot of discussion about sort of revitalization mm-hmm. efforts for downtown. Do you see this as sort of fitting into that movement?
Absolutely. And we take our role in that very seriously. I mean, the economic impact that a series like this brings, in addition to everything else that is presented at the Performing Arts Center across the season. But, just the four Broadway shows alone this year have brought a $30 million economic impact to downtown and to our state. So it's an incredible engine to help revitalize downtown. And I think positivity begets more positivity. And so if we're having this type of positive impact and activity downtown, our goal is to encourage it to breed more. And we're here to support that, whether we're bringing it, others are bringing it. How do we all work together to create the downtown and our overall community that we want?
All right. Turning back to the building itself, you mentioned it's 35 years old. There's some maintenance need. What are kind of the big priorities there for you?
Oh, goodness. There's a lot. I mean, it's a 35-year-old building that really needs new investment, and everything from the mechanical systems in the building, the HVAC system, an ability to cool the building more effectively, to our theatrical systems. Sound and lighting technology has changed immensely since the building was opened. There's lots of opportunity there, including the patron experience, the original seats, the original bathrooms, the original a lot of things. And my team is incredible, along with the team over at the municipality, on doing everything we can to maintain what we have. But, there comes a time when you can only, do so much. And I'm grateful to the administration and the assembly for finding funding to start the project to modernize our elevators and our fire system. So, those things aren't so exciting to talk about, but they're really critical to the operation of a building like ours. And I really do credit the excitement and attention that the new Broadway program has brought for bringing us the success in finding those funds for that project to get started. But that there's a lot more to go, and I'm excited to work with our community on this and look at how we can impact what the Performing Arts Center is and looks like for years to come.
All right. Well, continuing to look into the future, so we're not going to get official announcements today on what the coming shows are going to be, but you did mention it's going to be a 3-show season instead of 4.
Yeah.
Is there a particular reason you wanted to go 3 shows instead?
I mean, you know, logistics are challenging in terms of, you know, routing and programming. I mean, that's really the reason. And so, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, the following season I'll be back to a 4. You know, it really just depends on what's out in the market and how it's scheduled in other markets and what makes sense. So, but yes, 3 amazing shows coming next year.
Okay. And this is the part where I'm going to ask you for any sort of hint that you're able to offer about what we might be able to expect announced on Saturday.
Well, 3 is a really great word, a really great number. And so maybe that's a clue. And I think that they're all very different shows from one another, which is also really exciting. And they'll all only take 1 airplane apiece, but big airplanes, whereas Aladdin took 2, and that was, that's a lot of airtime.
And we're not counting boats or trucks in addition to these, right?
There could be ships in addition. We're still working through some of those logistic details, but, you know, it really depends on the timing of a layoff week for one of them. As they depart us, but more to come on that. But yes, next you just have to wait just a few more days, and it'll be out there.
Okay, and if folks are interested in finding out on Saturday what the coming lineup is, where can they find out about that?
They can go to BroadwayAlaska.com after 4 p.m. and we will have the information online.
Okay, 4 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah.
I will be listening for that. And we actually, in just our last couple minutes, we do have a caller. It looks like Sharon is calling from Anchorage. Sharon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. My question is when and why, what was the reason behind the shift from being a facilities management group to being presenters? You know, the Anchorage Concert Association, they had their niche and were presenting Broadway for years. Should the Alaska Theater of Youth, ATY, SWAN, the opera, other presenting organizations, you know, fear that you're going to try to eclipse their programming?
Oh, and it was Sharon, I believe, was the caller. Hi, Sharon. You know, we saw this as an important opportunity to bring these types of engagements to the community. We don't look a lot like most performing arts centers across the country that also present in the building that they manage. So it was just an opportunity that we felt with a new partnership with the Nederlander organization to engage with the most current Broadway shows is something that the community had been asking for, and we found it an important opportunity for us to respond to that that request and that need and desire, and we are excited to do it. We're definitely also committed to our healthy resident companies and all the magic and important programming that they bring to the building. There's important. And it's room for everyone, you know, and Alaska Theater of Youth, some of the ones you mentioned, Alaska Theater of Youth, you know, uses our facility from time to time. They're a wonderful organization, as is the opera, who's actually getting ready to open La Traviata. Please go see it. It's going to be amazing. And, you know, the Concert Association does an amazing series, including they're getting ready for their Summer in the Park series. So please attend those incredible concerts. They take them to different communities around Anchorage and beyond, and a wonderful opportunity there as well. And Alaska Junior Theater, you know, they're bringing incredible shows. And, you know, we partner with everyone as well as manage a huge facility and now bringing a wonderful program to our community right here at home.
Yeah. Do you think it would have been possible to bring Hamilton up here without, you know, engaging with outside groups like Nederlander?
I don't think so. And I think that's part of what, after lots of discussion and planning, became clear that, you know, our commitment to the transportation model of bringing things by air, combined with their commitment to come into our community and work with us to develop the new program based on, you know, the needs and desires of our community, you know, is what led us to this opportunity and introducing Alaskans to shows that they can enjoy right here at home and they don't have to go outside to see.
All right. Well, we just have about a minute left or so. And so I just want to ask, you know, and I might be able to use process of elimination here to figure out what might be coming in the near future. But what would you love to see come to Anchorage?
I mean, I know we all want to see Wicked. So I can't tell a lie. I'm hopeful that will be coming our way someday soon. And I think, you know, I'm excited for, you know, bringing shows that people are familiar with, but also that, you know, we're introducing to new audiences and building audiences, not just for Broadway, but for all things that happen at the Performing Arts Center and live performing arts across our community in other venues as well as the PAC. So we're here to work with everybody and excited to share this experience with our community. And we look forward to years of doing that.
All right. Well, thank you so much to my guest, Cody Costello, General Manager of Broadway Alaska, COO and President of the Alaska Center for the Performing Arts. I'm your host, Madeline Rose, in for Lori Townsend this week. Thank you to our audio engineer, Chris Hyde. On the phones, Ava White helped us out, and producing and editing today's show was Annie Feit. You're listening to Talk of Alaska. Thank you for listening.
Talk of Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of Alaska Public Media, this station, or its underwriters. Today's program is available online at alaskapublic.org. This is Alaska Public Media.